And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Command the children of Israel that they bring unto thee pure oil, olive, beaten for the light, to cause the lamps to burn continually in the tabernacle of the congregation. And it shall be a statute forever in your generations.
The Eternal Light. The National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations present The Eternal Light, a program which comes to you under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. Today's program, written by Seymour Wright, is entitled The Pious Ox. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Now it came to pass that in the district of Ravaruska there lived a devout farmer named Yaakov. He was very poor, and the struggle to survive was an endless one for himself and his wife Rachel. They lived in a rough log hut with a floor of dirt, and the one thing they owned of any worldly value was an ox.
Where are you going, Yaakov? Drink your tea.
First, I'll see to Mutka. He needs water and feed.
You're always worrying about that ox. Why don't you worry about yourself a little, huh?
What for, Rachel? I have you to worry about me.
Six days each week, Yaakov and his ox bent to their wooden plow, scratching subsistence from the reluctant earth. And on the seventh day, man and beast rested.
You're tired today, Yaakov.
No more today than other days. And no less. But thank God tomorrow's the Sabbath. Tomorrow I'll rest. Your cough gets worse and worse.
No. No, it's nothing. When the weather changes, I'll be fine.
I don't know. Maybe you should...
Come sit down. I made cabbage soup for supper.
Yaakov labored in the fields from morning until night. The work was hard, the days were long, and he was grateful that he had his ox Mutka for company to help him speed the hours.
Mutka, guess who I saw in the marketplace today? Herschel the Malamut. He lives in Krakow now. He came back to visit his sister. I asked him about Krakow. Would you believe it, Mutka? He said it's such a big city that our whole village could fit in one little corner. I'd like to see a city like that someday, Mutka. Wouldn't you? Look, Mutka, the geese are flying north. It'll soon be getting warm. Maybe Rachel's cough will go away. Last night, Mutka, I had a dream. Such a dream it was. I dreamt that when I harvested my grain, it all turned to gold in my hands. Gold, Mutka. I became rich. Ah, it was something. The things I did. I bought a new house for Rachel with real floors and pictures on the wall and a stove in every room. And for you, Mutka, it was a fine new stall, as big as a nobleman's palace and filled with the sweetest hay. Then I took Rachel to a sunny place far away on the Adriatic. And her cough disappeared, and her cheeks grew pink, and she laughed the whole day long.
Yeah.
Some dream, huh? Not that I'm complaining. The Lord is righteous and just, Mutka, and I am thankful for my blessings.
The weeks passed, and then one day there was a strange note of urgency in Yakov's voice.
Mutka, my ox, you'll forgive me if I seem to be hurrying you a little. But there's good reason, believe me. Today we must finish earlier. I spoke to Beric the healer about Rachel's cough, and he's coming to the house. He's going to make her well again. Well, say something, Beric. Speak. How long are you going to stand there and look at her?
Yakov, I can do nothing.
What do you mean, nothing? You're the healer.
Yes, but in a case such as this...
Your father was a healer, too, and his father...
Rachel, forgive me if I speak bluntly, but this cough, I've seen it before. It's a serious illness.
What?
If you want your wife to be cured, Yakov, you must send her to the hospital in Russia.
Oh, hospital in Russia? But for this, one needs money.
Yes, a lot of money. Perhaps 40 or 50 rubles.
40 or 50? It's impossible. I have nothing. It's all I can do to manage a kopeck every week to buy a bit of candle for the Sabbath.
I know. Still, it's the only hope. She'll have to stay there a long while. But, God willing, they can cure her.
40 or 50 rubles?
Please, Yakov, don't concern yourself. It's just a call.
You're sure, Beric, it's the only way?
Positive. I've seen other cases. In the hospital, at least there's a chance.
Yakov, pay no attention to him.
Where could I get so much money?
Well, perhaps there's something you can sell.
Something I can sell? Yes, there is something.
Yakov, not Mutka.
I, Yakov, the farmer, for the sum agreed upon, do hereby sell my ox to Ivan of Tchermashov. I further warrant and declare that the beast is without blemish, sound of hoof, clear of eye, and a light eater. Is this satisfactory to both of you?
Yes, Your Honor.
Very well. You, peasant, pay him the money and take the ox.
Come on, ox. The beast refuses to move.
Go with Ivan, Mutka. You belong to him now, not to me. See, he gave me the money I need. He's your master now. You must do what he says. It's the law, Mutka. Try to understand.
Are you crazy? How could you speak like that to a dumb brute?
He is not a dumb brute. He's Mutka.
You shouldn't have done it. You shouldn't have sold him.
Rachel, please. Isn't your health more important? Besides, it's not like Mutka's going away to Dubienko or Taropin. Even if Tomajov lives very near here, I can probably see his field from the top of the hill across the road. It won't even seem like Mutka's gone.
And how can you do your work without an ox?
I still have my hands, haven't I? Just get well, Rachel. And someday, when you're home again, maybe we'll buy him back.
Don't worry about a thing, Yakov. With all this money, she'll be well taken care of.
Yakov, I don't want to leave you.
Rachel, be brave. Beric will go with you and make all the arrangements. If you do everything they tell you in the hospital, you'll soon be home again.
But how will you manage here all by yourself?
With God's help, I'll endure.
The carriage is waiting. Come.
Yakov!
Go, Rachel. Go, get well soon. Get well soon.
His gnarled fists wrapped around the handle of a hoe, his back bent, the sweat running from his brow, Yakov fought the earth alone. For 6 days he worked, and on the seventh, as always, he rested.
Oh, Yakov!
Who called? Ivan of Tomajov.
What manner of beast did you sell me, you thief, you liar?
I don't understand. Mutka is a wonderful ox.
A wonderful ox, eh? A wonderful ox who refuses to work.
Mutka refuses to work? I don't believe it.
This morning I came with the oxbow and the harness. He turned his head away and refused to get up. I beat him until my arm was tired, but the brute wouldn't leave his store.
Please don't beat him anymore. Perhaps he's ill today, Ivan. Let him stay in the stall just this once. You'll see by tomorrow he'll be all better. I know, Matka, believe me. You'll see.
Very well. But I warn you, if he refuses to obey me tomorrow, I want my money back.
Your money? But I haven't got it. My wife is ill and
no I... No excuses. If I have any more trouble with that beast of yours, you'll be sorry. You'll be sorry!
Yaakov awaited the dawn with dread. But the day came and went, and the next day, and four more after that. And by the time the Sabbath came again, he had all but forgotten his visit from Ivan of Tomashov.
Yaakov,
Sholom,
Berek, tell me, how is Rachel?
Fine, Yaakov, fine. All goes well.
God be praised.
She's happy and comfortable, and the doctor thinks she'll recover completely. I arrived from Varsha only this morning, and I came straight to tell you.
Thank you, Berek, thank you. My heart, it's overflowing with joy.
And you've been working hard, huh?
Ah, what does that matter? The news you brought me makes me feel younger and stronger than I have in years. Now that I know Rachel is being well cared for, I can do the work of 20 men.
Liar! Thief! Robber!
Who's that?
That's Ivan, my neighbor.
Yaakov! You cheated me.
Well, what happened?
The same thing again with your ox. He refused to get up and work this morning. I kicked him and thrashed him for hours, but he wouldn't move.
What is this? I don't understand.
Ivan of Tomasha bought Matka from me. Now it seems that Matka refuses to work. I can't believe it.
You can't, eh? But it's so. I'll complain to the magistrate. I'll demand my money back.
Ivan, perhaps if I could see him, talk to him. He might be ill.
The beast isn't ill. He's lazy.
Please, Ivan, I understand Matka. I know I can find out what's the matter. Please, let me help.
All right, come then. See for yourself.
His eyes are clear. He seems to be in good health.
Matka, is anything wrong?
Look how he sits there, so calmly.
I don't understand.
There's nothing to understand. You sold me an ox that won't work, and you'll pay dearly.
Why won't he work? He always worked for me, except the... Ivan, wait. The last time you had trouble, it was 7 days ago?
That's right.
Tell me, did Matka work well during the week?
Yes, he worked every day from dawn to dusk. Until this morning.
Oh, now I understand.
What are you talking about?
It's very simple. Matka is observing the Sabbath.
What's this foolishness? You warranted the beast to be without defect. If he refuses to work, the blame is yours.
Ivan, there's nothing to worry about. Let me explain things to him. Matka always listens to me. Matka, please pay attention. As long as you were in my service, it was fitting for you to rest on the Sabbath, because the Lord so commanded us, and it's written in our law. But now you belong to Ivan. It's no longer the same, Matka. Do you understand? You're no longer required to keep the Sabbath. Come, get up now and work as your master wishes. Come, Matka.
Look how he stares at you, Yaakov.
Yes, he stares. But he still doesn't move.
Berek, I wonder...
What, Yaakov?
I wonder if Matka observes the Sabbath not as his duty, but as his right.
Get up, clod! Stupid
Six
beast!
6 days thou shalt labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor the stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it.
Take your scriptures elsewhere. I'll teach the brute to do his work.
No! No, stop! Don't beat him!
Get up!
Eva!
Get up, stupid beast!
Don't you beat him!
The news spread quickly through the district. In the marketplace, on the roads, in the synagogue, the story of the pious ox was on everyone's lips.
They say that Yaakov pleaded and begged, but the ox refused to leave his stall. For 6 days Matka works, and on the Sabbath he rests.
Then Yakov took the whip and broke it into 100 pieces. How can he return the money he sent it all to Varsha, to the hospital?
Eric! Eric! You were there in the stable. Tell us exactly what happened.
What's there to tell? You all heard the story. When Yakov saw Ivan feeding the ox, he turned into a madman.
I can't believe it. Yakov is so gentle.
Yes, but not the other day. He leaped on Ivan and threw him to the ground like he was a sack of meal. Then he broke the whip over his knee and threw the pieces as far away as he could.
Yakov is a fool.
A fool? What do you mean? Because he saved the poor beast from a whipping?
He had no business getting mixed up in a thing like that. It's too risky. It can only lead to difficulties.
But Yakov meant no harm. He wanted to protect Matka.
That has nothing to do with it. Mark my words, Beric. He's in for a lot of trouble.
Yakov. Yakov. Terrible news.
What is it, Beric?
Ivan has filed an official complaint with the magistrate.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
How can you stay so calm? This means serious trouble. You must do something.
What can I do? But put my trust in the Lord.
Of course, Yakov, but surely you can...
Oh. Open up!
Yes? Your name is Yakov?
It is.
You are hereby ordered to appear in the town hall tomorrow morning to stand trial before the magistrate.
Stand trial? What have I done?
You are charged with deliberately misleading and defrauding one Ivan of Tomashov concerning the purchase of an ox.
You are Yakov, the farmer?
Yes, sir.
The same Yakov who sold an ox to Ivan of Tomashov?
Yes, sir.
Did you not at the time warrant said ox to be a good worker? Free of all blemish and defect?
Yes, he did, Your Honor, but he lied.
No, that is not true. If you'll only let me explain...
What is there to explain? I wanted the beast to work, and he refused. It's as simple as that.
Ivan, tell me, do you work every day?
Well, of course. Every day from sunrise to sundown.
And when do you rest?
At night, when I sleep. Day is for work, night is for rest.
You never rest during the daytime?
No. That's for noblemen and princes.
What bearing do these questions have on the matter?
If you please, sir, if I could just explain what our Sabbath means. You see, in our testament, it is written that the Lord created heaven and earth in 6 days, and on the seventh day he rested. Now, for a Jew, a day of rest, that's a holy thing. It is a time for him to renew himself, to rediscover this heaven and earth that the Lord created, to rejoice in it and give thanks. Matka, a simple beast to be sure, even he understands this pattern in life. To be restored in the dignity of rest has become a part of his animal nature. For 6 days he works, dutifully. Ivan will agree to that. But on the seventh day, he too has a need for rest and for rededication.
Do you mean to say that a beast of burden can understand your religious teachings?
Well, maybe not in the same way. But the God who created us, he also created Matka.
Rest one day out of every seven, huh? And how does the work get done?
There's work of the spirit, Ivan, as well as of the field. It is written in our scriptures.
That's enough. We're wasting time. You do not deny, do you, that your ox has failed to give the service required of him by the purchaser?
Well, no, sir.
Very well, then. I hereby order you to refund the full price you received by tomorrow morning. If you fail to do so, you will be sentenced to prison for 5 years.
Yakov, what are you doing?
Waiting for the soldiers.
Listen, Yakov, I'm trying to collect money in the village. Maybe we
No,
can...
I won't have it.
But why should you go to prison?
Tell me, is there news of Rachel?
Yes, Levi came from Varsha last night. He saw Rachel. She's fine. The doctor says maybe she can come home by the end of the year.
Oh, thank God.
Yakov, look. Maybe if I went to the hospital and explained what happened, they'll refund some of the money.
Never. Rachel must never know what happened. You hear me?
But this whole thing, I don't understand it. You've done nothing. Why are they punishing you?
Somebody must go to prison. After all, they can't send Motka. No, Beric. The Lord moves in his own ways. It is not for us to understand. It is not for us to...
Look. A cloud of dust on the road just at the bend. The soldiers are punctual. Jakob.
Goodbye, Beric. Take care of Rachel for me.
Jakob.
My word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I have sworn and I will perform it that I will keep that righteous judgment. I am afflicted very much. Quicken me, O Lord, according unto thy word.
Yakov, look. It's not the soldiers. It's Ivan with Motka.
Ivan!
Yakov! Yakov!
Why do you come here? Haven't you caused me enough trouble?
I didn't come to cause you trouble. I came to speak with you. This morning I went to the magistrate and told him I didn't want your money. He canceled your sentence.
Ah?
Canceled my sentence?
You? You did this? For me?
Well, last night. It's a strange thing. I laid down, but I couldn't sleep. My brain was spinning. I kept thinking and thinking about what you said in the court about the Sabbath. And I thought to myself, I'm called Ivanov Tomashov. Where I am from, this I know. But who I am, this I don't know. And then I got up and I went and I looked at your ox, your Motka. And I thought to myself, this ox, he knows who he is. He works in dignity. And he rests in dignity. A dumb beast. And yet smarter than Ivan of Tomashov.
Ivan.
Tell me, Yakov, this Sabbath, is it something I could have too?
It's for all men.
I think I would like a Sabbath.
Ivan, you going to sell Motka now?
No. I brought him for Yakov.
Oh, but I have no money to buy him back.
I want no money. This ox, he really belongs to both of us. I thought maybe you would share him with me.
Share Motka with you? Oh!
Then it's settled. Good.
Thank you, Ivan. Thank you.
Well, actually, it comes out just right for both of us. 3 days the ox works for me, and 3 days he works for you, and on the seventh day, everyone rests. Huh?
For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it.
If you would like a copy of today's script, please send your name and address with 10 cents to cover the cost of postage to the Jewish Theological Seminary of America, 3080 Broadway, New York 27, New York. And now we take great pleasure in presenting Mr. Herman Hoberman, prominent civic leader of New York City. Mr. Hoberman.
Today's program is a fantasy, which by means of exaggeration and imaginativeness points up a timeless truth. As in all good fantasies, its foundation lies in real life, in the meaning of society. On the holiday of Shavuos, which we have just celebrated, we commemorate the giving of the Torah to Moses on Mount Sinai. The Torah and the Ten Commandments, which are in it, form the basic code which defines the structure of our society. Today's script is based on the fourth commandment. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath day unto the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any manner of work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, nor thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. It is natural for us to ask what all this means for us today. What importance does the idea of setting time apart for spiritual contemplation have for man when the urgency of worldly problems seems more pressing than ever before? It means that the power to know himself is the very essence and quality of man's humanity. The single thing that sets him apart from the other of God's creatures. It means that only by using his power of reflection about himself and his purpose in life can man explore new ideas and thereby discover thy means to remake society into a better environment for all people. Yet in today's story, there is an additional lesson. The time for rest became important to an ox. Isn't it strange that time for a Sabbath unto the Lord should be important to an animal which is incapable of thinking? Yet the very point of the story lies in this paradox. The lesson is that the opportunity to reach the highest level of being should be made available to all living creatures, regardless of the degree to which they can take advantage of it. Democracy rests on a foundation of equality of opportunity. Talents, abilities may differ. However, true freedom does not exist unless all people are encouraged to develop the best that is in themselves. To this meaning of freedom, we must rededicate ourselves every day.
Thank you, Mr. Hoberman. Our Eternal Light drama today, The Pious Ox, was written by Seymour Wright and was based on The Pious Ox, which refused to work, and the example he set from Maaseh, edited by Moses Gaster and published by the Jewish Publication Society of America. Cantor David Putterman sang the liturgical introduction. Featured in the cast were Joseph Julian, Ethel Everett, Roger DeCoven, Ed Jerome, Ed Keen, Sam Gray, Lottie Stavisky, Ralph Bell. Alexander Scourby was the narrator. This is Mel Brandt. The music was written by Morris Momorsky and conducted by Roy Shield. This has been an NBC Radio Network production, directed by Daniel Sutter. This weekly program is presented under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America.
This is the NBC Radio Network.